You're on Chav Beis Amun Aleph, two dots, about two-thirds of the way down, Itmar. Rav Amar Emar Likim Lener, so we had mentioned, we had made a reference to this Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, so Itmar. Rav Amar Emar Likim Lener, so we're going to get into the actual guts of the issue. Rav says you cannot light on Hanukkah from one Ner to the other. Ushmul Amar Madlikin, and Shmuel says, yes, you can. Rav Amar Ema Tirin Tzitzis Mibeged Lebeged. Rav says you cannot undo Tzitzis from one Beged and put them on another Beged. Shmuel Amar Matirin Mibeged Lebeged. Shmuel says you can't. Rav Amar Ein Halach Rav Shimon Begreira. Ushmul Amar Halach Rav Shimon Begreira. And we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, three disparate issues, when we bring them together over here. Do you possibly Rav Shimon when it comes to Greira, the issue of Eina Miskaven, the famous concept of you do an act and there's a possibility as a result of that act that a prohibition will be done, but you don't intend for it to happen. It's not a psik reisha, it's going to happen. It's not definite, but it could happen. Would that be enough to curtail you and prevent you from doing the act or not? So Shmuel says, we follow Rav Shimon that it's mutter, while Rav is a Rabbi Yehuda man who says it's aser. Okay, these are the three issues. So, Amar Abaye Komili Demar Ovid Karav. Okay, normally all matters of Rabbah, my Rebbe, he would always follow Rav. Okay, Labar Mahani Tlas, except for these three situations where even though conventional wisdom would tell you follow Rav, be Yisurei, and Shmuel B'mamon here, which are Yisurim issues, they're not Mamondic issues, Labar Mahani Tlas, the Ovid Kishmuel. In these three situations, he did like Shmuel, namely, Matirin Miner Lener, he allowed you to light from one flame to another by the Menorah, Matirin Beged LeBeged, okay, and he would allow you to undo the tzitzis of one beged and put them in another beged. V'alach Rav Shimon beGreira, okay, and we follow Rav Shimon when it comes to the issue of Greira, which is like pulling a chair or a bench on grass, which would potentially make a groove in the grass. So in this issue, since it's not a psik reisha, it's not definitely going to happen. It might happen, and you might make a groove, but you don't want to make a groove. It's not your intention. You need to move the lounge chair over to where the sun is so you could relax nicely and read your book. Okay, so you got to get the chair in the right position so you can drag it on the grass, even though you might make a groove. The answer is we follow Rav Shimon, according to Rabbah. Abaye is Rabbah. We follow Rav Shimon. The Tanya, as it says in the Braiser, Rav Shimon, Amen, Geir Adamito, a kis of a safsol. Your person's allowed to drag a bed, a chair, or a bench. Uvach, lo yiskav, and lasis chritz, as long as your intention is not to make a chritz. So in these three situations, we're going to, at least according to Rabbah, we're going to follow Shmuel. We'll see. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Miner Lener. Okay, so middle of Rashi is there. Miner Lener. The Chanukah, this is referring to Ner Chanukah. In the first time of the Kameh, we're going to explain the reasoning later on. Matirin Lahatl Tzitzis Mitalis Yoshin. If you want to remove Tzitzis from an old Talis, the Talis Chodesh, into a new Talis. Menochos, the first time in the Manda Osir. And again, okay, we got to wait a while. When we get to Menochos, we're going to explain the reason why somebody would prohibit it. Why Rav says you can't do that. Halakha Rav Shimon, the Omar, next Rashi, Doma Dovashem is Kavin Mutter, who says when you have an unintentional result, it's Mutter to do the act. V'afagav the Kavit Charitz, even though you are making a groove, of a told of the Choresh, which is a told of Choresh, it's like an act of plowing, okay, it's a told of plowing, Obona, or building, you're creating something, Mishum Delchus Sekarav Bisurei, Bukul Shas, and because we normally pass like Rav when it comes to Easter Dika matters, prohibited matters in all Shas, Bahar Manitlas, except for these three, Akhtinu, that's why they are put together. So if you're wondering what's the correlation, that's the correlation. That according to Rabbah, these three are the exceptions where we're going to follow Shmuel, even though generally we follow Rav. So this is the big three. Okay, Kol Mili Demar, who's Mar? Rav Bar Nachmani. Okay, this is Abaye's Rebbe, Abaye and Rav's Rebbe. Laisa Schritz Garcinon. The time of the Rav, Miner Liner, okay, that's Viter. Okay, very good. So he says, so Yosef, back to the Gemara. Yosef, whom Rabbanu Kameh, the Rav Ada Bar Avov, Yosef, come a time of the Rav. There was one of the rabbis that was sitting in front of Ada Bar Avov, and he sat and he said, time of the Rav, Mishambiz a mitzvah. That the reason for Rav prohibiting lighting a candle, lighting the fire from one flame to the other, from one Hanukkah light to the other, is because it's a shame to the mitzvah. So Amaluhu lo tatitzulei. Okay, don't listen to that. So Rav Ada Bar Avov, who was sitting here listening to this rabbinic individual say this halacha, says, I disagree. I definitely disagree. Why? The reason for Rav is nothing to do with Bizui Mitzvah, which would involve taking a secular, non-holy item like a piece of wood, and or let's say in our case like a match, you use a match to light from one of the menorahs, and then you use that match to light another menorah, that would be Bizui Mitzvah. Right, and if that's as far as bizui mitzvah, that you're lighting is a mundane item, okay, with a holy item, don't listen to that. But the reason is komachish mitzvah, that it's not about shaming the mitzvah, but it's about weakening the mitzvah. Meaning that when I take a match to a menorah, even if I would forget the match, matches. Not nice. Match is secular, mundane. And you're taking holy to mundane. That's out according to Bizui Mitzvah. But if I want to light from one actual candle or light of the menorah to another directly, that would not be Bizui Mitzvah because it's one mitzvah to another mitzvah. But it would be Machish Mitzvah. It would be that I'm diminishing the light of that menorah light, and that would be inappropriate, even if it's not a question of being shameful to the mitzvah, but it is diminishing from it. So Rav Ada Bar Avov responds, I disagree with you. It's not about the...
You're supposed to light the candle to begin with.
Well, the first candle you're lighting, because there's no holiness yet. You don't have anything holy. So to start the... Okay, so to light a match is not a problem, right? Can you light a match? Now, you want to use the first, you have the first light, you use the match to light the first light, then you're in business, okay? But can you use now...
Same match to light the next one.
Yeah, because that match remains mundane. Right. That's all fine. But now the question is, manika miner l'ner, can I use the light so my match went out?
Right, so I can use the first candle, light the second candle. No.
So one second. So slow down. This is a little complicated.
Yes, and one saying no.
So it's two different versions of what you can't do. According to version one, the reason why you can't light from one nair to the other is because you're going to be using a secular, mundane match for that purpose. Okay. And that's a shameful act of the mitzvah to use a holy nair to light a secular match. But if you were to be able to go from nair to nair, that would be okay. Basically going from one candle, let's use candles. So you pick up from the first one, you light the second one, that will be okay. But that's the first pshat. According to the second pshat, even that's not okay because you're being machish, because when you are lighting from one to the other, you're diminishing from that first candle, and therefore you shouldn't be anyway taking away from the mitzvah by using it as a lighting mechanism.
So what it says is what I guess that's where the Shabbos comes from now. They didn't have a Shabbos in those days. It was the problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Again. Yes and no. Because
we're 1,000 years later, as so we evolved to.
Yeah, but you can argue. No, but if you didn't have the Shabbos, is a really different idea that you don't want to be seen that you wouldn't appear that you're deriving benefit from this, because according to, in this scenario, after you did what you did with the secular candle, with the mundane candle, you can just extinguish it and go home. You don't need a shamash. In other words, this is in the lighting process. The shamash is in the remaining lit process. As it remains lit, you want to have another light that would supply your needs for light to read by and light to use, for illumination. But this is a shail in the specific process of lighting one part of the menorah to the other. can you light miner l'ner? This is very specific, and there are two versions as to what the problem is. My benai, what would be the difference between version A to version B, the non-identified version versus Rav Adabar Ava's version? The kibenai, the kamalik mishargu l'sharga. The shaila would be if you're going mamish to and lighting from the first light of the first candle of the menorah, and you want to use that candle to light the second candle, right? Mamish, so no intermediary, no mundane match in the middle process. Manda mishum biza mitzvah. Okay, if the whole motivation for prohibiting it is the fact that it's shameful, mishargu l'shargu matlik, then you can go ahead and light from one candle to the other because there's no shame. I'm doing mitzvahs with everything. It's mitzvah to mitzvah. So mitzvah to mitzvah, the world is good. However, mishmachushei mitzvah, but if your mentality and your reason for prohibiting it is because of ichushei mitzvah, because you're weakening the mitzvah, because you are, especially when you wax, maybe we don't really see it that much, but although even there, you see sometimes when you try to connect it, you see it gets a little down, it diminishes a little bit, so it gets a little, but certainly when you're going with oil, you definitely could see that when you're trying to drag the fire out, it could diminish from the first. What are you diminishing? That's not nice. That's not a proper thing to do. And if it's mishumachushe mitzvah, mishagur shagur nami yosser. It would be yosser even to go from one mitzvah of the candle to the other would be prohibited. So you have two different versions as to what's prohibited. And obviously, based on what's prohibited, we would know what Shmuel matters. Is Shmuel only going to be matter the act of going from one mitzvah to the other mitzvah? Is Shmuel even going to be matter if the machlok is in bizui mitzvah? Shmuel would even be matter a match being lit from the first candle, light a match with it, even though that lighting of the match, you're lighting something which isn't even holy, but it's being used for the purpose of a holy thing, and therefore, therefore it would be, it might be okay, it might not be okay, depending on what you hold like. But we're not talking about, everyone would agree, if you just want to use a match, I don't know, to light something totally irrelevant, that for sure would not be acceptable. The only half a minute to think it's okay is because you're using the match to now light candle number two. And since you're using it for that reason, maybe it would be okay. So let's do Rashi's. Let's see here. Last week we did that. Time of the Rav. Okay, so about six, seven lines up from the bottom of Rashi's. Time of the Rav, Miner Liner. The reason why Rav says you cannot light Miner Liner, Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. Because it's a shame for the mitzvah, Shemadlikin Kisem, Shena Mina Mitzvah, to light a match or some kind of piece of wood that's really not at right now at all connected to a mitzvah. Miner shel mitzvah, from a candle that from a flame that is of a mitzvah nature. And from that match and from that piece of wood, you're going to light the others. That is not acceptable. Is that the svara? Or the other one says no. Rav Adabar Ava says, excuse me, that's not the svara. Echushe, the merze command is shokel nohira. Okay, because it appears that you are taking some of the light, v'shoev ketzas milachlukas shmeinoi, and you're drawing away a little bit from the the oil and the moisture of the oil and of the wick. You're diminishing it. You're taking away some of the light, and that's not appropriate. Even though you're intending it for a mitzvah, this is a much more machmedikashita. So there are two different possible understandings of the machlokes. Okay, what would be the nafkamina between these two understandings? If you're going mishargu l'shargu, last Rashi on the page, mevi ner etzel ner. Okay, if you want to bring one light next to the other light, ushneim shel mitzvah. Okay, and they're both of a mitzvah. Look, b'kisei, and it's not dealing with a piece of wood. If you knock out the piece of wood and you're going from mitzvah to mitzvah, that would be a litmus test. If you're into bizui mitzvah, there's no bizui mitzvah here. So everyone would agree that that's okay. If you are chichush of the mitzvah, being machish the mitzvah, then that will be where the machlokis is, because of the fact that you are still diminishing the light of the menorah of one of the mitzvahs, that would be unacceptable. And Shmuel would say, it's fine. Okay, so ready to turn the page. Okay, last few words on the page as we try to figure out this issue So we got two things on the agenda. Agenda number one is what is the machlokes, and number two would then be who do we paskin like in the machlokes. So it seems so far on the record, all we have would be Shmuel, Abaye saying like Rabba. Abaye saying like Rabba that we follow normally Rav, except for these three. So far, the only point on record is that we follow Shmuel in these situations, which would be that it's mutter. We just don't know what degree of mutter there is, but we'll see how this unfolds. So most of, let's see if we can prove this issue.
But I'm still lost on how, if you have eight candles there, are you supposed to light a match?
Well, again, everyone agrees, if you have that separate light, okay, that remains mundane, and I'm going to use this light to light all eight, there's no shiloh. Because I didn't get my light from the mitzvah. You lit it with a match.
Right.
So you have a separate candle that's mundane and never being used to extract from Kedusha. So what's the problem? The way we light is classically okay, right? Who does? Everyone uses a candle.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you call it a shamash, but it's really not, at that point, it's not a shamash yet. The only reason why it becomes a shamash is when you keep it with the other lit.
On the menorah.
On the menorah, that's really the concept of shamash. Here, just you need something to light.
Right, I mean, that's the problem I'm having, is you're saying that the first match that I light with is a mundane match. I light the first candle, that flame now becomes...
No, but you see, but you didn't do anything wrong yet.
Okay.
Because you didn't light from anything holy right now. How did you get this light? There's no light being extracted from anything holy. When you lit the first candle, you don't touch that first candle anymore. You're not going to go back to that first candle. So that's it. If you don't go back to that first candle, it's not this sugya. This sugya is only madlikim in there l'ner.
So I light the first candle, now I pick up that first candle, and I light the second candle.
Who does that? Who in the world did you ever see in 50 years of lighting candles, did you ever see anybody use the first light to light the next light? Exactly. So
that's the argument. Here.
That's the argument. So in other words, so what we do has no shaykhus to this, right? So, but if so, that's this sugya would come up to a case where if you would use that first light to either give a new match light,
you're saying now I need to light a match.
Right.
So what I do is that first candle's lit. I put the match in there.
Right.
I light it, and I'm going to light the second candle.
Exactly.
So that's the argument.
Correct. Right. Okay. Correct.
Candle.
Those two scenarios is the argument. Correct. Okay. But the way we do it has nothing to do with this sugya. We stay clean of this sugya.
Well, that's why, probably.
Well, yeah,
because
exactly.
We've been for 1,000 years, so you know, by now we should have did it right.
Okay, but Lamaisa, the question of Lamaisa, you do see a lot of women, okay, when they light candles, and if the match burns out.
You're talking about Shabbos candle.
Yeah.
Yes.
They take the candle, they light for the candle.
Yes.
So the whole purpose is for illumination, and then you're going from one mitzvah to the other. So in a way, it does, that concept does impact us, but very rarely by Hanukkah. Okay, but not a problem. But by Hanukkah, since it's a pure mitzvah and not deriving benefits, so we'll see.
So you're saying women in that situation go candle to candle at that point, you're saying? Somebody lights a lot of candles on Friday night.
That's generally what they do. If you...
Well, they light the match from the candle.
Yeah, but a lot. You've seen where definitely women go.
Yes.
You know, I don't think that would be an issue because, again, first of all, you're going from mitzvah to mitzvah in that situation. Okay, and you're doing it from a Shabbos candle, which is meant for illumination, as opposed to a Hanukkah candle, which is meant for mitzvah and pure. You know, separate. You know, it's not meant for. It's dafka not meant for illumination. So they
light another match.
What?
So they could even light another match.
Well, that for sure would be good. If you light another, light a match from the existing. Well, that might get into the whole issue of it's this shikl bizoyo. So it really might not be so nice. But I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. That might be a little bit shameful, and that might not be. You know, so. So good, but it could be. It is good. I'm not sure. Let's see here. Yeah. So Mosiv Ravavia. So on this issue of the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, we're about to turn the page. Mosiv Ravavia has a question from a brayser. Every Mosiv is based on a tanoic source. So So Sela Shel Maaser Sheni. Let's see if we can prove this. So now you have a coin of Maaser Sheni as we go to Chav Beis Amid Beis. Ein Shoklin Kenegdoi Din Rezov. So you've got a holy coin of Maaser Sheni, which you've obviously, you have produce that you desanctified onto a coin of Maaser Sheni. So you have this holy coin that you're going to take up to Shlaim, and you're going to go into what's that famous pizza shop there in Melech Georgia? I forgot it. My gosh, I'm going to forget. Okay, but so you want to go in, and you'll buy with the Maaser Sheni coin, you know, with the pizza or meat, whatever that you're allowed to buy, all the stuff you're allowed to buy with the coin of Maaser Sheni. But right now, it's till you do that, it's holy. So now you want to use this holy coin to weigh against another coin to see if that other coin indeed is properly weighted to represent a shekel, a golden shekel. So he says, or golden dinner. So ain't shoklin kenegdo din rezov. You cannot use that holy coin to be part of a weighing exchange to see if a golden dinner is properly weighted. Vafil chalav maaser sheni acher. Even if your intention is to use that act so that you can use that other coin to desanctify other stuff. So this mamish sounds like the case of the match, where you use a match to now light other things. So my intention ultimately is to get to a holy state with this dinner zov, and l'chayra, I still can't do it. So it sounds like, I can't. See, I'm a b'shayim aki pligi rav and shmuel b'ner l'ner. Okay, if you hold that the machlokis of rav and shmuel is only when you are going from one Hanukkah light to another, but when you're using a match, using that middle stage where you're going, you're desanctifying it, everyone agrees that even Shmuel would say it's usher, then it's very good. Because everyone agrees you can't go down and on the Bizui mitzvah level, everyone holds you can't do it, right? With Shmuel, the machlok is not in the Bizui mitzvah level, the machlok is on the Machish mitzvah level. So on the Bizui mitzvah, everyone would agree it's Aser. Okay, halavit lo havit yufta. Then this Brisa does not represent any question on Shmuel, because Shmuel agrees that what you want to use a mitzvah to a mundane act, such as weighing a mundane coin, just like using a flame to a mundane match, is unacceptable. It's very good. That's unacceptable, and this is unacceptable. It's all good, and there's no machlokas on this point. However, Eliyam b'kinsan nami shari, but if you're going to tell me that, no, there's a bizu mitzvah machlokas, and if there's a bizu mitzvah machlokas, that means Shmuel says you could go from a light to from a Hanukkah light to a match, because he doesn't buy into this whole Bizu mitzvah concept, since you're going to use it for mitzvah. He says, Eli Amr begins and Amishari, however tiufta. Then this price it represents a refutation to Shmuel. Because this price says you can't go from holy to mundane for the purpose of going back to holy. And you, Shmuel, say you can go from holy to mundane for the purpose of going back to holy. So you're taking on a price, Shmuel, and that's not generally a good idea. That's something you don't do. You're an Amira. You might be a heavy duty top flight Amora, but you're still an Amora, and you can't take on a Brisa. So what's the deal? L'chora, this would l'chora commit ourselves to the machlokas being only on the machish mitzvah level, but not on the bizui mitzvah level. That on the bizui mitzvah level, everyone agrees it's aser. Otherwise, Shmuel's in trouble. Rashi says not necessarily. It could be that the machlokas is talk of bizui mitzvah, and it could be Shmuel normally would say you can do that. And I don't buy into this whole bizui mitzvah thing. So why are you not allowed to weigh the coin against the golden coin? So Amaraba gzeira shema lo yichave mishkalosav, because maybe what happens if you didn't line up the coin properly, and the coin is not exactly the coin you want, then you could end up doing nothing with that act. Whereas you can't bank when you have a match, you know you have another light in front of you, you're going to light this menorah in the next 2 seconds, all is good. You're going down to go up, everything is good. But here you're going down, and you might never get up back up. What happens if the coin is not weighted properly? It's either too much gold or too little gold in that coin. Then you're not going to use it, in which case you wasted the whole deal, and that's unacceptable. So let's take a look at Rashi. Maaser sheni dinarin shechil aleihem maaser sheni. You have coins that you desanctified, produce of maaser sheni onto those coins, making them holy. Ain shaykun connect on dinner and shalchul and liroshesh shiyu shleimim. You cannot use those coins against secular, mundane coins to see if those mundane coins are appropriate for the desanctification as well. Now, why not? Yamit b'shleimu ki pligi. Well, I mean, clearly why not is because you're doing something that's going to be shameful to the mitzvah. Yeah, if the whole machlok is by Hanukkah is only on going from one light to another light without the degrading intermediary, without the match in between, and not with a piece of wood, the Chayesh Achushein Shmuel says in that case it's okay because I'm not worried about the diminishing of the light of the oil, Avol Bekinsa, but when it comes to a piece of wood, the Bizuhu, which is shameful, okay, I admit that it's good. Well, if you learn that way, then the world is fine. Halav Havei Tufta, then it's not a question. Danach Dinarim Dechul Logufay Mitzvah, because these coins themselves are not intrinsically a mitzvah. These, secular, these mundane coins. Yavagav del mitzvah kabayilu lekinsa. Now, even though you want to use it for the mitzvah, it's exactly similar to the kinsa case where we are using the match to be lit from the existing mitzvah. So Shmuel would say no, and Shmuel would say here no, and everything is good. Eli amrit bekinsa nami shari. But if the machloek is between Rav and Shmuel is in the case of the match, and in that case Shmuel says the match is okay. He says, Eli Amrit, one more time, Eli Amrit, because Nami Shari Shmuel, Shmuel's going to matter even that, Hoyel V'tzorach Mitzvah, because it's being used for the sake of a future mitzvah momentarily. Then this Bryce represents a refutation to Shmuel. The Osir Lishko, because the Bryce says it's Osir away, the Avagav V'tzorach Mitzvah. It's for the intent of a mitzvah, and according to Shmuel, should be mutter. Why does the Bryce say you can't do it when according to Shmuel, it should be perfectly acceptable? And lo yichave mishkaloisav, right? He says, maybe the reason is it's very simple because this is different than Chanukah, says Rava in defense of Shmuel in that version, because you might not end up with good coins. Shema lo yimseim tovim, okay? Maybe you won't find them good with enough gold, or yimseim yiseirim, you might find them with too much gold. V'yochus aleihem, and you'll come to have compassion over those coins and say, you know what, it's not kedai. V'yichal ha-meiser aleihem, you will not desanctify the meiser onto those coins. V'yimseh shabiza meiser shol tzoruch. So you ended up shaming the meiser for no need, for no ultimate positive goal. You were hoping to use those coins for desanctification, but you realize they're not acceptable to you. They're lacking the right measurement, and you decided to desist from that. So your end situation is that you've got coins now that are not good. So since you have you've shamed them without the ultimate positive at the end, even Shmuel would say, don't do that over here. You got to be sure that you're going to use them for mitzvah. So by menorah, they're right here. Everything's, all the ingredients are right here. When it comes to this, it's more up in the air, and therefore it's unacceptable. So we haven't proven yet one version of the machlokas versus the other. Let's go one more Rashi. You're going to leave them be in their desanctified, mundane state, and that's not going to be nice. It's going to retroactively, it's going to appear that you did something, not respectable to a mitzvah, and that is the reason why the Braisa answers. In the case we know it's going to result in a respectful act of a mitzvah, then in that case Shmuel might say it's all fine and dandy. Okay, so we have not yet proven anything, not who he passed like, and not even what the machloek is between Rav and Shmuel is all about. Let's try another one. Masa Rav Sheshes. Now Rav Sheshes steps to the plate. Okay, it says like this. Michutz laparoches, it says in the Torah, okay, in Vayikra, when it talks about the menorah, b'chutz ha-proichos se'edus, right outside the proichos se'edus, yaroch, you should set up the light of the menorah. Okay, he says, v'chila orhu tzarech, what you need to set up the menorah for the light. V'lo kol abram shana shalchum b'nei sol b'minmar, lo yochu elul oro. Okay, he says, for all 40 years that the Jews were in the desert, they certainly had plenty of light. So what exactly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplied the light. So what do I need this light of the menorah for? We had, at night, we had this Ananiya Kavod that gave light, illuminated the entire Jewish camp. So why in the world do I need light for the Heichal by the menorah? He says, Elul Edis Hulaboya Ola. But rather, the purpose of the of lighting the menorah is rather was edus to all of the people who came from the world, from the entire world. Okay, shashchina shor b'Yisrael. That indeed, Shechina does rest with the Jewish people. How? My edus. What is this testimony? Where's the testimony from the menorah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina on Klal Yisrael? So Rav Zuner Maravi. The answer is Rav explains this is referring to the Western light, the Ne'emar Ravi, Shosem Boshemen Kmidas Chavruseha, that you put, you gave the same amount of oil as you did with its counterpart, Umena Yamadlik. Okay, and from that you would begin to light the others from the Ne'emar Ravi, and right away now you begin to see how this is playing a role. So the Ne'emar Ravi would be the light that would illuminate the others. Okay, Ubo HaYimisayim, and with that you would end. So this light seemingly never diminished, and this was a miraculous situation that you would have the same amount of oil, and yet it would be still enough that for the next day you'd be able to use this light to illuminate the other lights of the menorah. People would come by and see this. They would say, my gosh, there's a miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resting his Shechina on the Jewish people. And this lasted up until Shimon HaTzadik. And after Shimon HaTzadik, this Ner Maravi no longer was unextinguished. It became extinguished on a daily basis, like all natural situations.
Why is it taka during that time?
Because that's when Klal Yisrael's level went down. We Shimon HaTzadik still had a schus, but after that we lost our schusim and we went down in level and we weren't worthy of that miracle anymore. Okay, so what's the issue here? How does this Brisa show anything? Vacha, as we continue in the Gemara, Vacha, given the Kvi Neros, okay, since the Neros were established, Lo Sagidol Mishkol, okay, Vadluke, it's certainly not going to happen that you're not going to light. Here, this is definitely a no-brainer, slam dunk, that it's going to be lit. You have to light the menorah. Okay, and yet, okay, Vadluke, and you would still light. So you're mattering lighting, okay, from one ner to the other. Kasha, mitzvah. So this seems to be a proof, right? For sure, if you hold bizu mitzvah, what are you doing? One second. It will be meno yamadlik. So we'll have to see how is it. If it's biza mitzvah, what's a biza mitzvah? If you use, I guess you use something else, right? In other words, because the assumption is that it was, again, one second, given the kvi neros, right? Let me read that line again. Since the neros were fixed and you weren't able to move them, lo sagidol mishkol, okay, vaadluke. It's impossible not to have to take something else to be the intermediary to go from one flame to the other. So you're not going to be able to go from flame to flame because it wasn't movable. If it wasn't movable, you have to take a match or something to go from the Ne'emar Ravi to the others. And yet it was okay. So this is, for sure, if you hold Machish Mitzvah, you got a problem. But both in Machish Mitzvah and Bizu Mitzvah, both, either way, it's a problem because here you're doing something that's really shameful by taking a secular item and lighting it up with the original Ne'emar Ravi. Okay, so how do you do this? Why was it mutter according to Rav? This should be Aser, because this is definitely Rav Asered Bizu Mitzvah. So Gemara says Tirgumar of Papa Bepsilos Aruchos. Okay, so you don't have to use an intermediary here, because you could have long wicks, and with a very long wick, you could take the wick and transfer it over, and you can go from mitzvah to mitzvah, and not have to use a match and a piece of wood in between. Well, okay, you got me on the biza mitzvah. You avoided the biza mitzvah issue.
How do you know that? it's lit.
Okay, but even if it's, you can take a lit wick and light the other carefully.
That's not what I'm asking.
Well, but only at that point is your mitzvah completed. So when you lit it, it was almost like an inconsequential act, in which case it would be usher to do. But if you hold havlaka isa mitzvah, then it would be permissible to do, because indeed that would be a chosh of a mitzvah dika act. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi's here. The bracha is just a preamble to the holy. Making the bracha is, I mean, you didn't do anything yet. You got a candle in your hand, you made the bracha, shkayach, right? Okay. So you didn't do anything. When is the real act of, so according to this machlokas, we'll see tomorrow whether the lighting actually does the mitzvah, or does the placement of the menorah in its lit form in the right place, does that do the mitzvah? So
they light it and then they move it.
Well, it sounds like almost if you hold a nochos mitzvah, then you have to place it down lit, and that really is a mitzvah. Almost like that seems to be the whole special responsibility of Hanukkah, is to place it in the right place in a lit fashion. Now, we happen to hold Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, so we have a hard time relating to Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah, because we don't hold Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah. But in the world of Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah, it's not the lighting which really does it. It's a placement of the mitzvah.
I imagine it's sort of, I don't know, they did a better job than we do, but it's sort of dangerous to walk with this lit menorah someplace.
Maybe it's just nothing more than just picking up and putting it down. That might be, you know, you don't have to move it like from a prohibited place to a acceptable place. It just means you just have to just light it. Okay, let's just do it. If we can get that big Rashi in, Namaravi, what is this Western light? A lamp, whatever the lit part, the lit of the eight menorah arms that come out. This is the Western one. Which is that? Mandel Menachos Mizrach Ma'ariv. According to one who said that the menorah was set up east to west, Menachim Seder Akonim, Menachim Seder Akonim. That's where these extensions of the menorah would be set up. The second one, From the easternmost outer one, would be the Ne'amaravi. Contrary to your gut feeling that it's the westernmost one, it's not. It's the second one of the group. If you hold that the lights were set up north-south, not east-west, which is the same direction as you walk. When you walk into the Heichal, you're walking from east to west. So the menorah, you really wouldn't see the menorah clearly in that way, because if it was set up north-south, you're looking at the menorah. If it's setting up east-west, the menorah is exactly in the same way you're walking. You're just sort of seeing the menorah that way. He says, so from Vidorim, Menachin, Emsoi, Menachin, they were placed that way. Emsoi, Koy Maravi. Okay, then the middle one is called the Ne'amaravi. Hashem Shoya Piv Keneged Ma'ariv. That its opening was open to Ma'ariv, V'chol Shar Neris Klapei Emsoi. And all the other ones were sort of focused and leaning towards the middle one. Diksiv Amul Pnei HaMenorah. So it's focused towards the middle. The northern one was leaning towards south. Okay, we'll stop at the dot and pick it up tomorrow.